comes those to Curry. Curry gets it ahead to Gretzky. Gretzky going in. Sutter trying to get back. Gretzky with a shot. He scores!
They're going to try here. Rushing to center and down the wing. It is Marshall! Scores! Marshall! Scores!
Moving on. Rendemore at the far side. That's broken. Here's a break. It is Pisani. Scores! A shorthanded goal for Pisani.
Here comes Connor McDavid, shifting right by Riley, right in. What a goal! My goodness, what a goal by Connor McDavid!
Welcome to the Locked On Oilers podcast on this Tuesday, October 27th. I'm your host, Hernan Salas from TSN 1260 and the Two Guys and a Goalie podcast. Of course, the Locked On Oilers podcast is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Connect with me on Twitter at Hernan the Man, at Locked On Oilers, and give us a follow at Locked On Pods. This episode is brought to you by RockAuto.com. Amazing selections, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. A sad day on Monday, a sad week ahead, as on Monday, we learned that legendary finger among the Oilers and Eskimos, Joey Maws, passed away at the age of 57. Joey was beloved by everybody, an Edmonton sports legend, icon, who was a source of hope and inspiration to many. And being born and raised here in Edmonton, and in my early 40s, you know, my first memories of the Oilers and Eskimos always involved Joey Maws, and it was just, it was emotional yesterday seeing all the messages on social media from players, ex-players, all the 80s guys, you know, the media, fans, and everybody telling their stories. And then today on the radio at TSN 1260, just so many great memories, and all his friends like Sparky, Rod Phillips, you know, Kenny Lowe, Paul Coffey. It's just been unbelievably emotional last 24 hours, I must say. You know, as when we learned this on, you know, early Monday evening, Joey Maws, just an absolute beauty. I don't think anyone will ever forget. He just puts a smile on your face. I never got to meet him personally, but I remember a few times out at a local establishment, he was there with some people, and I remember when he was leaving, everybody would start chanting Joey, and man, did he love it. He'd embrace it. He would turn around before walking out and lift his both hands up, kind of like a wrestler, and oh, he was just such a beauty, and you can see it. I mean, so many messages on Twitter, on Instagram, and it's been emotional, and just thinking about him, you know, you're sad, and then you smile a bit just remembering him singing Oh Canada and doing all those different things. So I'll be joined by Brent Griffiths here in moments, as a longtime media member here in Edmonton, worked for the Edmonton Oilers as well. So I'm sure he's got some great stories to tell on Joey Maws. News is going on around the NHL, but I think we'll save all that for tomorrow, as this Locked On Oilers episode will be dedicated to Joey Maws. As I'm pleased to be joined here on the Locked On Oilers podcast by longtime media and broadcasting member here in Edmonton and one half of the Outsiders podcast, Bryn Griffiths. You can connect with him on Twitter at Bryn Mighty Mouth. Bryn, thank you so much for taking the time to join me today as we remember Joey Maws. For you, you know, you worked for the Oilers for many years, and you've been in the media here in Edmonton for 30 plus. Just, you know, what was your first encounter like with Joey Maws?
Well, it's funny. I was fortunate enough to work both sides of the fence. You know, the first experiences for me were as a member of the media. And then I spent 5 years with the Oilers in public and media relations. So my first experiences with Joe would have been in the late 80s. And, you know, everybody was in awe of Joe anyway, because his story is an unbelievable story. It says a lot about Wayne Gretzky. It says a lot about Glenn Sather. It says a lot about Lyle Sparky Kulchicki and the entire Oilers staff and the way they brought him on board. So when you remember the media, the respect level was already there for Joey. And you could also see a few things. One, his smile just lit up a room. If he smiled or laughed at anything you said or anything you did or anything that was done in the room, it just, there was a really good feel in that locker room back then. And I used to just love to go in there. Of course, the you can ask any media guy, the same question about Joe. What do you remember? Well, for me, it was always Joey seemed to pick the most inappropriate times to vacuum the Eskimo dressing room. And so after a game, most notably, And it also goes back to when I worked for the Oilers, it hurt me to have to go over to Joe while the scrum is moving its way around the locker room, trying to get their audio so they can get to their deadlines and all that kind of stuff. I used to have to go, Joe, and I'd have to do the old, I'd do the old cutoff sign with your hand, right? Yeah. Around your throat and said, just give it 5 minutes. And he always seemed really hurt by it every time I said that. And I get it because that was his job. And he always wanted to do his job to the utmost. So, you know, I'd give it a couple of minutes and then I would walk over and say, look, we'll get going here in a couple of minutes. Just hang tight. And he would, you know, he would just say something. And but I always, every time I had to do it, and it was after every game that I had to do it. And it just, I just hated that part of it. But he always made me feel better about having to get him to knock off the vacuum cleaner for about 5 minutes to let the media guys get their job. And then Joe, let's go for it. And he'd do it. The other thing too, that really stuck out for me. And this is when I worked for the hockey club was I'd heard the stories, but you never really believed it. And everyone would tell me that they treated Joey no different than anybody else in that locker room. And I thought, well, maybe that's just an old wives' tale, that kind of thing. But when you get a chance to work for the hockey club, everybody's treated the same. Whether you're Glenn Sather right at the top, all the way down to the ice makers at the arena, everybody was treated exactly the same. And with Joe, it was no different. And the one thing, there's a couple of stories. One is, I still remember Wayne Gretzky coming in for his final game as a New York Ranger. So many stories out there about, is this going to be the last time we see Wayne skating on the ice here? They came in a day early. And so they had a late afternoon practice at the old barn over at the Coliseum. That's what I'll call it. And who met the Ranger bus? That door opens. Wayne walks off the bus and Joe gives him a big hug. Well, of course, the media guys, all the cameras were there, right?
Yeah.
And so on game day, the following day, the newspapers, both of them, the Journal and the Sun, had these huge pictures of Joey and Wayne hugging. And somebody in the locker room had gone out and bought about 40 editions of the Edmonton Sun. They must have had a real big day that day. And all the front pages of the Edmonton Sun with the two guys hugging, they'd cut the pictures out and they were posted all around the locker room. And the players were just giving him a hard time. Are you with us or are you with Gretz? Who are you with? Yeah. Who are you with? A couple little signs under the traitor and, former Oiler. And it was quite funny. I thought it was a little harsh initially. And then I realized that Joe was kind of finding it funny. The players were loving it. And, the team meeting today? You can't be in this meeting because you might run down the hallway to the Ranger room and tell Wayne everything that's going on. So Joey kept intentionally a low profile that particular day. But the thing that was very noticeable to me was the following day, it was just like a regular day in there. And they were just giving him a hard time, having some fun while doing it. And like I said, it was just very special.
Just such a great story. Brent, maybe for people that, you know, that listen to this podcast that are not from Edmonton, I mean, you know, the story is that Gretzky, you know, was dating his sister and that's how he met Joey. And then he introduced, kind of recommended him to Slat. So you can just tell us that story once again, maybe for someone who hasn't heard it.
Yeah, I think this was 1984 and Wayne was dating Vicky Moss, who is obviously Joey's sister. And she was trying to get a singing career going. And so everybody had heard of Vicky, but Wayne had obviously met Joe and he was working in a bottle depot. I don't know where in the city he was working, but Wayne liked his attitude and liked the fact that he was given an assignment and he executed it and thought, wow, maybe we can bring him into the Oiler locker room. So Wayne went and pitched the idea to Slats, and Slats loved it. And so they brought Joey in and they handed him off to Sparky. And Sparky was his mentor the rest of the way. And that was the beginning of Joey's career with the Edmonton Oilers. And the other thing that's been really noticeable to me here over the last 16 hours, since we all got the horrible news, is the response that I'm seeing from not only, and I've received text messages from former players who couldn't believe it and were looking for confirmation. And but the thing that is really blowing me away is on Twitter. You take a look at the, like the New York Rangers, the Los Angeles Kings, the Calgary Flames, the Montreal Canadiens, in both official languages, have all sent their respects out about Joey's passing. And I still remember to this day, I'm not going to name the player, but I was fortunate enough to work in Moose Jaw for almost 5 years doing the play-by-play of the Warriors in the Western League. So you got to know a lot of players. Got to know a lot of players that made it to the NHL. And on this one particular night, Joey had gone away to Hawaii for 10 days with his family. He used to like to get a little bit of a break in January. And after the game, I went in and I was a working member of the media back then. So, of course, I went to one of the former Western Hockey League guys that I dealt with on a regular basis, who's a pretty big name. And I was going to ask him about the game before we even started the interview. He said, "Hey, where's Joe?" And I go, he's in Mexico." "Oh, good, good." He said a bunch of us, the guys on the bench, were worried. Now, this isn't the Oilers bench.
Yeah.
This is the opposition bench. I said, "How did you notice he wasn't there?" Well, he said, "One of the highlights of coming into Edmonton is, well, we're skating on the best ice in the league back in the old Coliseum days. And the glass was really low, and we always used to love, guys would look up and look around because they used to love listening to Joey belt out the national anthem." So that was, that just told me how far reaching the power and the mystique of Joe Moss had crept out to the other teams. And now I'm seeing all these tweets from players all around the league who recognize that here's a kid who was given a great opportunity and was able to move ahead and do the job to the best of his ability, which was really great. And how much of an impact he made on other players around the league. It's I've just been blown away by the external response. We always knew this was going to be a tough couple of days when this happened.
Yeah.
And it's been that so far. I've done 5 interviews already this morning. And it's not, and only one of them is in Edmonton. And all that tells me is that the legend of Joey, not everybody, I guess if you're under a certain age, you probably may not know who he is, but if you're over 25, you certainly know what Joe Moss is all about.
Yeah, I know. Just, you know, following along on Twitter was very emotional. Like, you almost had to, like, turn it off for a bit just to kind of gather yourself and give yourself a break. Because, like you said, there are guys like Max Domi sending a beautiful tweet out. And, you know, former Oilers like Sam Gagner.
Yeah. There's another one. Now, Sam's got the Oiler connection.
Yeah.
But Max doesn't. But Max has seen the power and the impact just from coming into Edmonton, right? So it's, and I'm like you, I turned my phone off for a couple hours last night because it was too much for me.
Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody and does not require membership or account login. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Build Go makes you the best you at whatever you do, whether it's a mental or physical wall, breakthrough it with Go every day. Build Go combines energy gel with collagen protein. Collagen protein is fast absorbing, so it gets into my system fast. Plus, it's easy on the stomach. 3 delicious flavors to choose from: peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint. Visit buildgo.com and use promo code LOCKED and you'll get 30% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED for 30% off at buildgo.com. Let's go.
I'm joined here on the Locked On Oilers podcast by longtime media and broadcasting member here in Edmonton and one half of the Outsiders podcast alongside Robin Brownlee, Brent Griffiths. Brent, I mean, you talked about powerful, impactful. How you know, when you look at those 80s teams in the greatest of all time, you have Wayne Gretzky, you have the Moose, Paul Coffey. I mean, you look to the football side, you had Warren Moon. And then right now, today, we have Connor McDavid. You know, what did Joey mean to those players? Because he was just as big a part of those 80s teams as anyone, right?
Yeah, I think in some ways it's easier when you're winning.
Yeah.
I think through the – okay, so we you know, a lot of us had the opportunity to cover or watch the glory years with Wayne Gretzky and those teams in the 80s. Then we had to stand by and watch the gory years.
Yeah.
Through the 1990s, which was not a lot of fun until the latter part of the 90s when Dougie Waite was the captain, and they were certainly a pain in the ass for a lot of teams like the Dallas Stars, although Dallas won every playoff series except the one that I remember on that Todd Marchant goal. But I think that guys like Joe and Sparky and Barry Stafford, Kenny Lowe, the support staff, Daryl Duke was another one, Stu Poirier, who was the massage therapist. Those guys, when times aren't good, those guys really pick up their game and are instrumental to keeping a team mentally feeling good, even though it's not really that good. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They're able to help you pick yourself up off the mat after another tough loss and come back to the arena fully charged up. And Joey was one of those guys. Joey always meant so much to that room. I just think that there was, I think it would probably be easier for Joe to just kind of ride through it in the 80s and be part of the group and part of the team, as opposed to in the 90s when you always look for somebody to put a smile on your face. And that's where Joey was, man, if you get Joey to smile or laugh, you always considered that a great day, or you know, you were able to make him laugh today and therefore you felt better. I think the 90s, I think he was probably doing his best work in the 90s.
That's amazing. And you talked about, you know, Sparky taking him under his wing and, you know, the bond he had with him and Kenny Lowe and Barry Stafford. You just talk about...
And that's just the hockey team.
Yeah.
That's just the hockey team, right?
Yeah, oh, definitely. And, you know, like growing up here, I mean, like my first memories always of the Oilers Eskimos, it involved Joey Moss and Sparky and Kenny Lowe and Barry Stafford. Just talk about that group and how special they were.
Oh, absolutely. Dwayne Mandrusiak, the
yes.
longtime
yes.
equipment manager for the Edmonton Eskimos. you know, they, Wayne had phoned Dwayne and said, look, do you think you might be able to find a way to keep Joe busy during the summer months? Because he's just kind of sitting around the house. He's not doing very much once the Oiler season wraps up. Dwayne said, absolutely. So, on one particular day, the very first one with the football club, it was Sparky who took Joey over to meet Dwayne and to find out that there wasn't a lot of difference between the football club and the hockey club.
Mm-hmm.
If you were going to be accepted, you were going to have to take the abuse and you're going to have to dish it out and not just take it.
Yeah.
And Joey was very good at that. But the one thing, and I've heard Dwayne Mandrusiak say this a few times, that the parting words on that first occasion came from Sparky, who said, he's a lot smarter than you think, so keep an eye on him.
Yeah.
And Dwayne Mandrusiak always told the story about the fact that there was one day, and it was really early with the football team, where Dwayne walked into the locker room and Joe was supposed to be vacuuming, and it was a couple of the other guys were cleaning up and Joe was just sitting there. And Dwayne goes, what's going on here? And Joey said his arm was off. His arm was sore. He couldn't vacuum. And of course I'm pretty sure that Dwayne laughed at that and said, okay, let's get back to work here, boys. And Dwayne had mentioned on a few occasions that if Joey had had more than two beers, and he loved his beers, that sometimes that arm would kind of go out. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And so anyway, it was just a great relationship between the football club and the hockey team back in the 80s in particular.
Yeah, I know, definitely.
You could talk to any of the stars on that Oiler team in any of those years in the 80s. And if there was an Eskimo game and it was an off night in October or November or the playoffs were on, you always saw a bunch of the Oiler guys down on the sidelines with the Eskimos. And Joe was always very prominent down on both sidelines. So he's left such an indelible mark, and there's not going to be any way that you don't think of Joey Moss and it puts a smile on your face, or you laugh about a story or whatever. And Billy Guerin and I were talking in the middle of the locker room one day, and this is after a practice, and Joe's got the vacuum cleaner out. And as he's getting closer to us, it's getting louder and louder and louder. So we decided that we were going to mock the sound of the vacuum cleaner. So, you know, so all of a sudden the two of us are doing the sound effect, which was sounding very similar to the vacuum cleaner in its tone. And then we would kind of start to break down a little bit. We'd do the, and Joe would turn the vacuum cleaner off and flip it over because he thought there was a problem. Well, we thought that was pretty funny, right? Because Joe was so in tune with that vacuum cleaner, and he could hear it starting to sound like it was breaking, and he would turn it off. Then he'd flip it back over, he'd turn it back on, and the two of us, we did this for about 5 minutes, and it was so funny. And then we finally went and told him that what we were doing, and he couldn't stop laughing. He could not stop laughing. And it was just the atmosphere in the room. Everybody dished it out and everybody had to take it. And Joe was no different than anybody else. And it was, like I said, it was a fun place to work for me for 5 years, and to see behind the curtain and to also work in the media. You always had a high level of respect for Joe Moss.
He was just one of the boys, right, Brendan? It's great to hear
Absolutely. That.
It was great to hear that he could be a prankster, but he could also take it as well. It's been well known that he loved his wrestling, James Bond flick, and he liked the song La Bamba. Is there any little things that we don't know about Joey that he was passionate about?
Well, I got to tell you the La Bamba one. We always had our Christmas parties at the Hotel McDonald, of course. And a bunch of the guys could play instruments. So every once in a while, I still remember Boyd Devereaux in particular was a great drummer. Like the guys would actually be able to step behind some of these instruments and play. But so I'm there with my then wife, and we get Joey to come up and sing La Bamba. And of course it wasn't great, but he was having a fun time. All the players, myself, everybody, we love watching Joey up on that stage absolutely butcher La Bamba. And I remember looking at my wife, and she was horrified that we were kind of laughing. She thought we were laughing at him. Really, we weren't. We're laughing with him and enjoying the experience for him. And he just loved being up on that stage, and he had the microphone, and he was singing it. Well, very similar to how much he enjoyed singing O Canada, right?
Yeah.
All the players, all of us just love the fact that Joe's up there just letting his hair down, having some fun. And we just love the fact that he was up there and he was having a good time and being part of the team and being part of the party.
Yeah, no, and just seen videos yesterday. He loved the, he was always doing like modeling shows. And like you said, he's always be remembered for his passionate, the way he sang Old Canada, an absolute beauty. Just flipping, one of his biggest, if not his biggest contribution was how he paved the way for people with Down syndrome and became a role model for many with disability, Brent. You saw a lot of fans and a lot of people in Alberta tweeting out yesterday how much he's helped their daughter or son that have Down syndrome.
Yeah, Winifred Stewart is a wonderful place that does wonderful work in Edmonton. And having Joe involved with them was huge. When I was working for the Oilers, part of my gig, not only media relations, was community relations and making sure that we had the right players with the right organizations in town from a charitable perspective. Well, for Joey, they absolutely put him on a pedestal, as they should have, because he was breaking down walls or breaking that glass ceiling, as we hear so often. But I noticed that the Moss family were asking that fans, rather than sending flowers, would make a donation to the Winifred Stewart Association, which I think is so wonderful. But Joe would go over there and he would be the star of the show. And, you know, because he was treated in a certain way in that locker room, Joe always felt that he was just one of the gang. And he tried to push that agenda at Winifred Stewart too, to make sure that everybody who was there understood that they were just as important as anybody else. And I think you take a look at the impact, and, you know, TSN, national story yesterday, Sportsnet, a little more of a regional breakdown, have a story on Joe. ESPN in the U.S. had mentioned his passing. I just think that his reach was so much more than just Edmonton. And if I was a member of the Moss family, that'd be the thing I'd be the most impressed by, is the fact that he was beloved in his market and one of the most recognizable sports people or sports personalities, who didn't even play, but one of the most recognizable ones in the city. And the fact that he was recognized all across Canada, I think that that just tells you the kind of legacy he's left. And there won't be a day now that goes by where I don't think of Joe and have a big smile on my face, because he's left a big imprint on me too.
Joined by Brent Griffiths, longtime media and broadcasting member here in Edmonton, one half of the Outsiders podcast. Brent, if you're talking about, you know, how big this story was, I was booking a baseball guest, a pretty big name yesterday, and obviously we had to cancel, and I was telling him why, and I'm like, you know, Joey Moss has passed away, and he was like, then he texted me back, and he said, I had to Google him. Obviously, he's in the States, didn't really know much about him, and he couldn't believe the story in the love that he was seeing on the good old Twitter machine, and he ended up tweeting out a story about him afterwards, which was incredible. Like, if it was your first time learning about Joey Moss, you couldn't help but be, you know, blown back by everything he did and the support he got. Just a few more for you here, Bryn. The outpour of love we saw yesterday and we're going to see for the rest of this week was just so powerful, emotional, uplifting. There's just so many words to remember Joey by. For you, how will you remember the great Joey Moss?
Well, he was out on the nights where the team didn't play very well. Back in the old building, Ronnie Lowe would love to tear a strip off of the hockey club. And so when I would come downstairs after being upstairs in the press box, and it would always be Floyd Whitney was at the door, and the doors would be shut. Media would be down the hall. But when the doors were shut, I knew, oh boy, somebody is getting a good stern talking to in the locker room. Chew out team night. But I would always slide in through the door, and it was a bit of a rampway that went down to the locker room. If I opened that door and I could see Joey standing in the up on that runway or that rampway down into the locker room, I knew that the team was having a strip tore off them. And he always would look at me, and he would do the old shh, you know, the finger up to the lips.
Yeah.
And I needed that. I could hear. I could hear what was going on.
Yeah.
But I always made me laugh, because Joe was just trying to tell me that there's some big stuff going down. And so I stayed up high on the ramp, and he would come up, and then the yelling and everything would stop. And there would be maybe about 5 to 10 seconds of dead silence, and Joe and I would look at each other, and the very next thing, and I still remember it to this very day, the next thing you'd hear guys taking the tape off of their shin pads, you know, that, and then Joe and I would look at each other, and we knew, okay, it's time to snap into action here now. That means the coach has left the room, and down and in there we went. But I remember those nights vividly because it was, you know, it, and once that was in the 90s, of course, but it just, it makes me laugh because Joe was just trying to protect me from getting into trouble from walking down into the middle of the room where the coach is just tearing a strip off of them. But I still remember that. Like I said, I remember Joe's reaction.
Yeah.
I remember the deathly silence. And then I remember distinctly hearing the guys taking the tape off of their socks or whatever. And then I knew it was time to get going. And Joey went to his vacuum and I had to walk into the room and go, "We'll open the room in 5 minutes," which was never easy for me to say after they had just been carved. But those are the weird little things you tend to remember. And the other thing too, is that, you know, that Joey would be, they'd be giving Joe a hard time on a particular day and on a non-game day. And we always used to do these team lunches and everybody would pay for lunch and that kind of thing. But I still remember that even though they were giving Joe a hard time on that particular day, mm-hmm. that I would watch Joe be taken out of the arena. Dougie Waite was the best. He was the captain, and there's a real good reason he was the captain, because he always did it. He always said, "Joe, let's go." And they would go and catch an afternoon flick somewhere and maybe go out and have a beer or a hot dog or pizza. And then Doug would just deliver Joe back home, that kind of thing. But everybody looked after Joe. And, like I said, for all the horseplay in the locker room and all the verbal shots and everything, they would go back and forth, and Joe could hand them out too.
Oh yeah.
I was always impressed by the fact that Doug in particular always made sure that Joey felt great about things. And if there was a Bond movie out, even though Joe might've seen it a week or two earlier, Doug always took him to it again and they would go. And it was like having a little brother. So, man, I'm going to miss him. It was so much fun, but it hasn't been a lot of fun from the last few years. So I'm kind of relieved that he's no longer in pain, and he's been going through an Alzheimer's episode here the last 3 years, and he fell and he broke his hip not long ago. So I'm going to remember the good times, and there were a ton of them.
No, that was great. Absolutely great to hear. I love the stories. And there's just so many players, Bryn. I mean, we can spend hours and hours talking about every player, especially now in this world of social media, Instagram. And I know Eric Greiba always had him over for dinner, and Strutty. He was just an absolute beauty. And it, yesterday, the fans already started saying, how do we honor, throwing out ideas? Like, I'm pretty sure we're going to see his banner here at Rogers Place. People were asking for a statue beside Gretzky. Name a street after him. What do you see the Oilers doing here for Joey Moss as we head into next season, Bryn?
Well, I don't know if there's a corporate name attached to the community arena right next door. I think there might be.
Okay.
But I would love to see that arena named after Joey. That would be fantastic. And the other thing that I like is I would like to see Joey's seat behind the bench basically just preserved and never been sold, right? In other words, it's funny. I remember when Jean Béliveau, who was my favorite NHL player as a kid growing up, the very first NHL guy that I idolized was Jean Béliveau with Montreal. And when he passed away, sadly, I still remember the fact that the seat that he always sat in watching the team after he'd retired, they had determined that nobody else would sit in that seat. But his wife, Hélène, I believe, said not long afterwards that she just didn't think it was right to have an empty seat behind the bench. You know, it was a nice honor for the first year, but she was happier to see a kid sitting in that seat. So I don't know. We'll see. Who knows when we're going to have a season next?
Yeah, exactly.
So they got some time to think about it. I just hope they don't rush to anything too quickly. They'll do it right. The hockey club generally gets it right in that regard. And I'm sure they'll do it right this time. I'm not a big fan on having a statue right next to Wayne's because Wayne is, you know, if you want to, I love statues. If you want to do a statue in the concourse area, at Ford Hall, or maybe one outside where the skating rink is going to be at the plaza at Ice District, that might be kind of nice. Not too close to Bob and Doug McKenzie and not too close to Gretz. Somewhere in the middle there would be fine by me. Hey, listen, whatever they decide, I'm not going to have a problem with. I'm really not. I hope, and I know they're going to do something and they'll do it right.
Yeah, like you said, the Oilers always knock it out of the park when it comes to things like this. And one thing's for sure, though, Brent, I know we're all going to be very emotional on that day, and it's going to be a great tribute for Joey Moss. Brent, this has been fantastic. Thank you so much for taking the time and sharing your stories, Joey Moss. I've been doing this podcast for about 2 months, and this has been absolutely my favorite episode to date because Joey Moss, like I said, an absolute icon, not just in Canada, but I think for the NHL, and he's just an amazing person. And he'll be dearly missed, and it's going to be tough not to see him around the Edmonton Oilers and Edmonton Eskimos. But Bryn, once again, thank you so much. This has been absolutely fantastic.
The kid left a mark, man. We're never going to forget him. I'm not going to, that's for sure.
Once again, a big shout out to Bryn Griffiths for joining me on today's pod. Just absolutely great stories there. Bryn, of course, longtime media and broadcasting member here in Edmonton and one half of the Outsiders podcast. You can connect with Bryn on Twitter at Bryn Mighty Mouth. So once again, Bryn, thank you so much. That was great. Couldn't help but get a little emotional there listening to some of the stories of Joey Moss. 3 more podcasts coming this week. You can connect with me on Twitter at Hernan the Man, at Locked On Oilers. And don't forget to subscribe and download on your favorite apps for all the latest episodes. But we got to wrap up this episode of the Locked On Oilers podcast. When you think of the Oilers and all their history and great players, the 5 Stanley Cups, names like Gretzky, Messier, Moon, and now Connor McDavid, Joey Moss was right there with all the greats. In these crazy times we're living in 2020, we need more people like Joey that can put a smile on your face no matter what, that are passionate, that inspire, motivate. His love of life, his hard work, that's what we need more of in this world. Joey Moss is not only an Edmonton legend, but a Canadian legend, a true inspiration to all of us. Thoughts and prayers to the Moss family during these difficult times. There's no better way to end this podcast with what Joey enjoyed doing the most, and that's singing "O Canada." Rest in peace, Joey.
We shall take God for a breeze.